Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly and continue to use you mightily at this end time. On this occasion, our subject is the prophet of God, interpreter of the word of God, preached on Saturday, August 22nd of 2009 in Santa Marta, Mexico. Let us search in the sacred scriptures in the portion that he read to us there of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and on, where he tells us, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Prophet of God, interpreter of the Word of God. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message the need to walk united at the last day, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on February 20th, 2010. And he tells us there, "We trust that it will always be the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that interprets the Scriptures to us, because that is what Jesus said, 'I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now.' However, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will show you, reveal to you, make known to you all things." In the Gospel according to John, there on chapter 14, on verse 26, he tells us, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." There he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right. And also notice in chapter 15, he speaks these words again, in verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Now, also in chapter 16, there it shows us, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will shew you things to come. In the message, The Feast of the Trumpets, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 14 of this message, the Reverend William Branham says, I've been into the Indian camps here. See the witches and wizards cut themselves and pour their own blood and speak in tongues. And the witch doctor interpreted. And see them lay down a pencil and write in unknown tongues. So that's not it. What is the true evidence? Jesus said, that you believe that I am He, and He is the Word. There He writes, the evidence of having the Holy Spirit. Why didn't they get it? Why didn't the Jews get it? They were righteous men. They were good men. They were holy men. And they were all kinds of people. But to whom is predestinated to hear the Word? And how do you know whether it is the Word? Each one says this. It's the promise of the Bible being vindicated of that age. And above he writes, fulfilled. There you are. Then you come back to where the Holy Spirit is. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages there to the right. Watch the sound of the trumpet in a few minutes. What it declares. The trumpet, the gospel trumpet, see who can hear it. Remember, those in the walled cities could not come out in the Jubilee. There on the side, he writes, denominations, Sadducees, Pharisees, SNS, Catholics, Evangelicals, Pentecostals, etc. No, sir. They were in the walls. They stayed there. It was over. They were slaves the rest of their life and had to be marked. He writes, the seal or mark of the beast will be today. In the message, the seal of God, notice what he tells us there. On page 50, the Reverend William Branham says, I think that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible supports that. The mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. That is the mark of the beast, which is to reject the Holy Spirit. There is only two classes of people, and on the side of salvation and rejection begin in Genesis, like everything else begin. And he writes there, the seal of God is the Holy Spirit, and the mark of the beast is, and he left it at that. And the mark of the beast, then the Reverend William Branham said it already, to reject the Holy Spirit. Now, the Reverend William Branham goes on to say here in the Feast of the Trumpets, now, as we see all these patterns, notice, now these acts, Malachi 4 and all this, and Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, He remains forever the Word made manifest. That's exactly what He declared the prophets. A prophet doesn't only mean a seer or foreteller. It means a revealer of the Word that's written in his own life, his own works, reveals and vindicate the Word of that day. Like Noah building the ark. Moses down there, whatever more, and any prophet, the promised Word for that hour. And he drew a Star of David on the left and one on the right. And also there, in the right side margin, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And above he writes, seer, dash, foreseer, prophet, equals, revealer of the Word that is written in his own life, incarnate in him, and being fulfilled. Prophet equals revealer of the word that is written in his own life, incarnate in him, and being fulfilled. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for revealing, bringing the interpretation of the word. That is how it's been for each age and each dispensation. That's how it must be in our time. And the Holy Spirit has always used an instrument for the message of an age. Well, he has brought a messenger for an age. And he is the one who has the divine revelation, the biblical interpretation of God's program for that age. And when he sends a dispensational messenger, the divine revelation for that new dispensation comes to him, which must intertwine with the dispensation that is in effect. And therefore, he must carry out that intertwining. There is where a pillar rises, it is to turn a corner. And then, that's as far as that dispensation goes. The corner is turned, and another dispensation begins. One dispensation intertwines with another. In this message, Birth Pains, where the Reverend William Branham tells us about turning that corner, and that he says a mason is needed. On page 20, he compares it to a mason, that is, to a prophet. He says, we are turning a corner. We are building a building. God's word is the blueprint. Anybody can run a straight line, but it takes a mason to turn the corner. It takes the power of God to do that. It takes an anointed one from heaven to be sent down to do that. It has in every age. There he writes on the left, a mason, prophet, to turn a corner. And in the prophet's age, the word of the Lord comes through those prophets, and they turned those corners, made those difference. But the builders wanted to build a wall. It's not a wall at all. It's a building of God. Now notice what Dr. William Soto tells us here in this message. In the message, the proclamation of the great voice of the trumpet, preached on September 13, 2015, in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, he says, therefore, the order of the coming of the Son of Man is the coming of the Lord with his angels, with Moses and Elijah. That is the seventh seal. But it's still closed, because it is not prudent that it be made known until certain time, to avoid interrupting the divine program that pertains to the manifestation or fulfillment of those divine promises that will give us the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. The seventh seal is what gives the rapturing faith to the elect. But in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, the full picture will be given. If it is in the fulfillment of the tenth vision that the full picture will be given, and the Lord will do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets, Amos 3:7, then God must have an instrument there. But in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, the full picture will be given, and what we need will be made known in order to have the faith. Now, if it is what we need in order to have the faith, which is what will be made known in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, then who should we listen to carry out a work and a program? God always has his messenger. He has his instrument. And what we need will be made known in order to have the faith, the revelation to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Therefore, in the third pool is where the faith to be transformed will be given. Now, everyone who believes that promise will be set in his sight to the fulfillment of the tenth vision. He will be looking to the teaching under the tent and receiving it, hearing it, and thus preparing himself for that translation, the rapture. It is the stage of the spoken word for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the stage where we will be seeing Christ coming to His Church at the last day and carrying out the things that He promised to do in that third pool. It is under the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Look in the message, Christ is revealed in His own word. He tells us on page 17, because if we already see and have heard, and we have searched where that rapturing faith would be given, well, then all the other interpretations must be cast aside. Page 17 of the message, Christ revealed in His own word, He says, now you must not misinterpret the word. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter. And you must not misplace the word. And you must not dislocate the word. If we would do either of these, it throws the whole Bible in a confusion and in a chaos. And he writes there, to misinterpret, to misplace, dash, to place it in another dispensation or age, to dislocate, dash, to make it say something else, to misinterpret, then he writes, to misplace, dash, to place it in another dispensation or age, and to dislocate is to make it say something else. Notice, to misinterpret Jesus in the form of God in a man, you would make him one God out of three. To misinterpret Jesus Christ being the Word, you would make him one God out of three. Or you would make him the second person in the Godhead. And to do that, you would mess the whole scripture up. You'd never get nowhere. So it must not be misinterpreted. And if you say that a certain thing, you put an interpretation on it, and you apply it to another time, or it's been applied to another time, you also make an incorrect interpreting. If anybody misinterprets Jesus Christ in the Bible of not being God Himself, make Him the second person or one God out of three, this would upset every word in the entire Bible. It would break the first commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Behold Israel. Notice, one God alone. Behold Israel. Your God is one. In other words, He is one alone. He is one. All right. It would make the whole Christian race a bunch of pagan worshippers worshipping their three different gods. See what kind of a Bible you would have? Then it make us what the Jews say we are. Said, which one of them gods is your God? See? So, you see, you mustn't misinterpret the Bible. For Jesus Himself is the interpretation of the Bible when He is made manifest in the age. And He writes on top, in flesh. In the age that the part of His body is being made manifest. There He writes on the right, Jesus is the interpretation of the Bible when it is fulfilled. When it is fulfilled. If it's a hand age, it must be a hand. It can't be a head age. If it's a voice age, well then, it can't be a foot age. See? There on the left, next to a voice, He draws a cornerstone. And now we are at the I age. And now the next is He Himself, to come, seeing prophetic. Also in the message, There he writes, look, the eye, dash, prophetic, the mind, dash, Christ. In the message, recognizing your day and its message, here he tells us on page 7, people, this was preached the Sunday after the Feast of the Trumpets. This was on the 26th, and the one of the Feast of the Trumpets was on the 19th. And here he tells us, people putting their own interpretation upon the word as it's been given, trying to make it say something that I did not say. On top of that, he writes, who takes away or adds to, people put their own interpretation. And not my word, it's his word. Who shall add to or take away? And then, in the vision, we see these prophets whirled down. As I explained to you, I believe, several Sundays ago. See, because there he was referring. Let us see here, on this part where he tells us about how he was going to come. On page 37 of the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, he started telling us that he was about to board. He was in Cairo and he wanted to go to Israel. And there, the angel told him that it wasn't the hour yet. And then he says, oh my, Moses and Elijah has got to call. The Pentecostal Jubilee is still going, or had up till this time. He writes, Moses and Elijah calling to the Jubilee. See, now the Feast of the Trumpets has to be known. And this one over here of Malachi 4 is not connected with that one over there. Not at all. Not at all. There he writes, the fourth Elijah is not connected with Israel. Notice, watch here. The ministry will be Moses and Elijah changing and calling Israel from the Jewish tradition. Listen, from the Jewish tradition that they had been mixed up in. Being prophets, they'll believe. They'll believe him, calling them to the Feast of the Atonement, Christ, letting them recognize Christ. They'll say, he's coming. He'll be here. The Jews will be gathering things like that. And then, when he comes, say, here I am. Now, he goes on to say here, where we paused, on recognizing your day and its message, he says, it'll be. I said, just keep away from it. As long as I am fighting it, then God can't fight it. Because he's speaking about those who add to or take away, and those who interpret what was said. And notice he writes there, as long as I'm fighting against this evil, God can't fight it. Now, in this message, titled The Symphony of God, which was the introduction that Friday, May 20th, 2016, here in Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto says, from age to age, the composer who is God, whom before the foundation of the world composed a musical sheet pertaining to each age and each dispensation, and the lyrics of what God will do has been recorded in the Bible. Then the conductor or director, who is the Holy Spirit, as seen in the symphonies, symphony orchestras, a man with a baton directing all the musicians. The symphony orchestra in God's program is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the composer. In this message, the masterpiece, he tells us on page 24, the Reverend William Branham says, the masterpiece must be cut. Notice, Cut for what? Is the piece cut off? Is the piece cut off? No, no. The piece that's cut off is made a vitrola needle. And the vitrola needle is put upon a record that's unseen music to the world. But the needle is what brings it out, brings out the true interpretation of the word. There he writes, the diamond needle plays the music, equals the prophet Messiah. The diamond needle plays the music, equals the prophet Messiah. He goes on to say, and the conductor or director takes the musical sheet which corresponds to the time where he with the symphony orchestra must perform that music, that musical piece. The director with the baton, with the word, the Holy Spirit in the messenger, with the church, they perform that musical piece. In other words, they carry out what is written in the word for that time. They bring the message pertaining to that time, the promises that belong to that time. They carry them out, they are materialized. And thus the work of God of that music piece for that time is fulfilled. That is the music sheet of the symphony of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, directed by the conductor with the baton in his hand, the word in his hand, through the messenger of each age. That's how it was for each age, and that's how it's been for each dispensation. It is as simple as that. In the message, trying to do God a service without it being God's will, on page 39, there he tells us, when you see God plainly vindicate, it's the truth, that's God interpreting his own word. And there at the bottom he writes, when God vindicates that it's the truth, that is God interpreting his word. When God vindicates that it's the truth, that's God interpreting his word. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say there, now the important thing for our time is to know the music sheet that the symphony, God's orchestra, the church along with the conductor, the Holy Spirit, with the word, with the baton in his hand, must interpret through his manifestation at the end time, using the messenger and the church for the performance of that musical piece. In this message, the Reverend William Branham also tells us the end time evangelism on page 13. The Reverend William Branham says, we find out that at the beginning when a messenger was sent to misconstrue his word or to doubt one word, it was total annihilation and eternal separation from God to misconstrue that messenger's word. And the first messenger was God himself. And every other messenger has been God speaking through man, since which is God's word. For there's no man then for him to speak through, but just the one he was talking to. But since he's made man and redeemed man, it's been God speaking through man. He uses not the agency of any mechanical device, but the agency of man, a man that's surrendered and consecrated to God. How we could bring it down through the prophets and Samson, and on down through till this very present age. It's always been an individual with God. Now, each age, I said, had its message and its messenger. Now we take another age after the Eden age, just to get a little background. And he writes there, God always speaking through a man. In the message also titled, the way of a true prophet of God, there, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 12, paragraph 74. And the reason he had come to this city was because the word had come to him. And when the word of the Lord comes to a true servant, he must go, regardless of circumstances. In other words, the circumstances that surrounds him don't matter. He goes with, thus saith the Lord. Regardless of circumstances or regardless of difficulties, he must go anyhow. Whether he's prepared, whether he feels like it, whether he wants to, whether whatever more, he must go anyhow. And perhaps many, perhaps they won't understand him, as it happened with Moses and with many prophets. Look, even in the time of Moses, Miriam and Aaron didn't understand clearly. From what we can see, it was God working in Moses, because they also pointed fingers at him. Even his own family singled him out. And they also said to him, "Hasn't God also spoke through us?" In other words, they undermined him, even though he was the dispensational prophet of that time. He was the one who had, thus saith the Lord. He's the one who knew what he was doing. Not Aaron and Miriam, even if they were older than him, they were not going to tell him what to do. The prophet of that time was Moses. And what happened to her? Look, although she was his sister, she got leprosy, because she disrespected the dispensational messenger, even if he was her brother. God doesn't like that. A person must be aware that when God sends a messenger, he must respect him, just as we all respect each other. But in that case, notice, she and also Aaron. And if Aaron had not gone to talk to Moses, he would have gotten what was coming to him also. Because notice, it was God working in Moses. They couldn't go above Moses. He never goes for foolishness. He never goes for money. He never goes for popularity. He only goes in the name of the Lord for one thing. He's got a mission, and he's sent of the Lord. And he is the Word of God, because he's carrying the Word of the Lord. That is a true prophet of the Lord. My text is the way of a true prophet of God. This great fearless man of God prophesied in the days of Jeroboam the second. I've got part of his history wrote out here before me. He prophesied about 13 years of his campaign. And Jeroboam the second was just about as smart and able a man as Israel had had for some time. He was a man that has brought prosperity to Israel. Israel was all flourishing, but he was something wrong with him. He was an idolater. And I kind of reading this the other day, I kind of thought that that was pretty fitting to today. No matter how smart a man is and how much he can do, and how much prosperity, if he gets away from God, he is an indebtment to the nation, away from God and his word. I wonder if it isn't fitting to us today, to someone who loves to sit on television and show how smart they are, how much brain they got. But I wonder if they got enough to take, thus saith the Lord. He was a smart man, all right. Israel was in the backslidden condition. Her preachers, her priests, and also her government had all left the word of the Lord. Now, they didn't believe that. They believed that they were with the word of the Lord. But there's a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Why was they wrong? Why could a man believe that they were wrong? A whole priesthood of men, thousands of preachers and priests and kings and governors, all who professed to be worshippers of God, and yet all of them were wrong. Then, they didn't need a king for prosperity. What they needed was a prophet, because the word of the Lord, or the interpretation of the word of the Lord, comes through a true prophet. Sometimes you can see what his way is then. It's a pretty rugged way when all the priests and all the preachers and all the diviners and the government itself against him. But yet the word of the Lord comes to the prophet and that alone. And on the right he writes, Amos 3:7. He has the right word, although he had the same Bible they had, but the word was to him. God was vindicating that he had the word. And that he had the word. They had the same Bible, they had everything. But they did not have the interpretation. And they had the interpretation right in front of them. What was said in what they were reading there themselves. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, now look, here in the front of this message, he writes, the word came to the prophets. They interpreted, and between parentheses, he writes, they are born prophets. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say, therefore, it is important and mandatory that we must know the lyrics of the musical piece, the promises pertaining to our time which are in the Bible, in order to know which is the musical piece that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ must be performing under the direction of the conductor of the Holy Spirit, manifested in his instrument pertaining to the end time, as it was in the different stages or ages of the Church. That is how it must be in our time as well. Now notice in the message, the God of this evil age, here he tells us on page 20, that it isn't through theologians or anything like that. Look, page 20 says, his scientific achievements, trying to prove God's words wrong. Just think of that. That is, the man's theology explained God's word to the people and makes it of no effect again, like he had it in the denominational age when Jesus appeared on the earth. Jesus said, you hypocrites, you by your traditions, that their interpretation had took the word of God and made it of no effect to the people. And that's the same thing they've done today. It doesn't have the effect. There he writes, the traditions equals the interpretations. And he also writes, theology equals science. Now, in this other message, he also tells us the indictment. Notice, he tells us here on page 9. The Reverend William Branham says, and what separates it? There is bound to be some basic reason that we're not together. In studying it, it's not the color of our skin, because yellow, black, brown, and white, all separate in different organizations. It's not the kind of food we eat. We all eat the same food. We wear the same kind of clothes and so forth. But I see where basically it is at. Is man who had got off the beaten path of the teaching of the gospel, each man. And there ought to be some way to definitely show which is right and which is wrong. The only way you'll ever do it is not put any interpretation to the word. Just read it the way it is and believe it that way. Each man put in his only own interpretation, it makes it say something different. And look, he writes there, when the word is given an interpretation, then groups believing different things are produced. When the word is given an interpretation, then, groups believing different things are produced. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, there are seven musical notes that corresponds to each church age, each one of them. There are seven church ages, and the musical piece of each age has already been performed by the orchestra, the church, under the direction of the conductor, Christ in Holy Spirit, with His Word in the midst of His church, conducting everything, using a messenger in each age, and so on for seven ages. In this message, The Rapture, titled The Rapture, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 14. He says at the bottom, we all know we're living in the Laodicea age. Back then at that time, well, the Laodicean age, of which, notice, there was a time period of that gap. There will never be another age. There won't be another age in which and within the dispensation of grace. There won't be another age, but another one was coming, but within another dispensation, which is the age of the cornerstone. There will never be another age. It can't be. There on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. So we're living in the Laodicea age, and these seven seals that held that book is a mystery to people, should be opened at that day. That's what he promised. Now, it won't be nothing outside the Word. See, everything has to be in line with the Word, because what he brought was the foundation, the platform. Because you can't add to the Word or take from the Word. It's got to remain always the Word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it, what it is, to make it fit with the rest of the Scripture. And then God vindicates that to be the truth. See? God don't need no interpreter. He is His own interpreter. He does His own interpretation by bringing to pass the things that He said would happen. There He draws a Star of David on the left. Like, in the beginning, He said, let there be light. And there was light. That don't need any interpretation. It was vindicated. How was it vindicated? Well, when He said, let there be light, the light appeared. Well, there is their interpretation of what was spoken. There is a writing here that He left us in a Bible study where He wrote there, the interpretation of the promised word is always its fulfillment. The interpretation of the promised word is always its fulfillment. Dr. Williamson goes on to say, and what is there for this time? The music sheet of this end time will be in an octave. Therefore, we go up an octave and we go up to an eighth age, which is the age of the cornerstone, where the musical piece pertains to an octave, where the seven musical notes will be played, but in higher note. As simple as that. That is what the Reverend William Branham told us here in the message, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. On page 85, when he's concluding the message, look, he tells us, not knowing, of course, being spiritual, you watch spiritual things. Not knowing this, God knows it. But if you'll turn and look at the clock, it's on the dot, 2 o'clock. He writes 2 p.m. Now, since Brother Branham, the pulpit of the Branham's Tabernacle is in the east, and the clock was mounted on the back of the congregation, that is, in the west, and the congregation was facing the east. That is why he says, if you will turn and look at the clock, It's on the dot, 2 o'clock, the end of the second pool. The third pool is at hand. And above the third pool, he writes, 3 p.m., the hour of the sacrifice. Did you notice the Spirit take the same song? Because Brother Branham, right then, when he says that, he starts singing. But something happens there that he realizes. And he says, did you notice the Spirit take the same song and pick it up an octave higher like that? The next pool is at hand. It's later than you think. Notice how God showed him there. In that hymn, by going up a note, he showed him that there. There on the left, he writes, end of the second pool. And he also writes, 3 p.m., the hour of the sacrifice. He writes that again there. And he then draws. He draws a cornerstone, the ages. And in the center, in that space in the middle, he writes second pool. And in the cornerstone, and an arrow, and he writes the third pool. And here also writes on the right, the third pool equals the word. There is a note back here. Notice. And he writes there, the third pool, 2 p.m., in a higher note. And the octave note equals the age of the cornerstone. And above all that, he writes, today there are 7 musical notes, equals the 7 ages. Ages. And on the left, a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice, in Sunday's message, there, he shows us that in that subject, because he preached it on Friday, and then on Sunday, he preached the Bible study, Sunday, May 22nd of 2016, titled The Symphony of God. There, Dr. William Soto tells us, according to the musical sheet for each season or time, the Holy Spirit will give the sign, will make known the musical sheet of your time, which was written by the composer, who is God. In a writing, he also left us here, where he says, on the bottom part, he writes, the composer is God through Christ. We must know what the musical sheet, and on top he writes, page, for today, and he writes the promises for today. We must know what the musical sheet for today is, because that is what God, through His Holy Spirit, will be interpreting, fulfilling in and to His church at this end time, in the age of the cornerstone. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, if the first angel messenger had seen that he had to build a great tent cathedral in his musical sheet, that was easy for Paul, because he was a tent builder, or tent house builder, along with other of his helper who work in the work of the Lord. But in the musical sheet that belonged to him, he was not given the revelation of a great tent cathedral being built. That would be for the end time. The Reverend William Branham was allowed to see it. He was shown the vision, and he tried to take it and fulfill it. But it was not possible for him, because the performance of that musical piece was not for his time to be performed, carried out by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ under the direction of the conductor with the baton in his hand, with the word. In the message, God is his own interpreter. Notice he tells us here, on page 9, and page 9, on this message, where he tells us, if you had known Luther, you'd known this age. If you had known Methodist, you'd known this age. For Christ wrote of this age. The words that's being fulfilled has to be fulfilled in this age. It doesn't need somebody to interpret it. God does his own interpreting. God interprets himself because he's the only one that can interpret it. God's promises always vindicates what he said, and that's the interpretation. There he writes, God interprets his word by fulfilling it. Now when, look in this message for today, there's a place where he tells us, here on page 24, look, he says, in 77, a series of 3 messages were recorded for Israel. I don't know how many of you have heard them. They are 10 to 15 minute messages each, but notice they speak of this same thing. He had been speaking about the restoration of Israel. And why are we talking about the same thing again? Because it was the truth yesterday, it was the truth in 77, and it's the truth in our time as well. In other words, what God spoke at that time, when it becomes fulfilled, that is the interpretation, then that becomes materialized. Now, every prophet tries to grab the blessings and fulfill them in his time. Did not Brother Branham do that? To the extent that he went all the way to Cairo and almost got on the plane to go there. But God wasn't going to let him go. And notice that for us, it was a good thing that he felt the need to go there, because there God gave him everything pertaining to that ministry of Moses and Elijah, which would be fulfilling that promise. In other words, it worked in our favors for him to feel that desire to go all the way to Cairo, so that the angel could speak to him, show him, see how everything works together for good? You can't say he wasted his time. No, everything has a purpose. Now he goes on to say here on page 9, God is his own interpreter. The Reverend William Branham says, God does his own interpreting. God interprets himself because he is the only one that can interpret it. God's promises always vindicates what he said, and that's the interpretation. Jesus said in St. John, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, he writes Elijah, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Did he say it? That's right. That don't need any interpreting. When somebody does that work, that's God, certainly. He also said in there, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And he writes, of the Christ, of the Holy Spirit, in a prophet. Luke 17:28-30. Jesus said that. Did he say it? Certainly. He said it. That needs no interpreting. It meant just exactly what he said. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And he writes, Christ the Holy Spirit in the prophet. What about the days of Lot? Let's go back just for a moment. Find out what they were doing. Now notice, in this message that we read of the Feast of the Trumpets, on page 27, the Reverend William Branham says there, the bride is with the words, they're one. How can they be one when that word that's wrote in there becomes in you and make you and the word becomes one. That's exactly what he promised. Then it interpret. And he writes there, the bride becoming the bride becoming the word to be one with the word. The bride becoming the word to be one with the word. God don't need an interpreter. They say, well, we interpret it like this. You've got no right to interpret nothing. God does his own interpretation. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Who interprets that? He said, a virgin shall conceive. And she did. And he writes, virgin. That don't need any interpreter. It's already interpreted. God said these things would happen in this day. And it is. It don't need no interpreter. It interprets itself. Oh my. And there's a writing here. Inside where he writes to us. No one has the right to interpret the Bible. Now Dr. William Soto goes on to say, the conductor is Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit in his final manifestation. So at some point, the angel of the covenant, the conductor, the composer, would give the command to God's symphony to perform that musical piece. In the message, the unveiling of God, notice who interprets it? It is God. And in this message, the unveiling of God, on page 51, the Reverend William Branham says, there he tells us a case about a violin, a fiddle, that old fiddle. It was at an auction. Notice he narrates this in other places also. But here he says, page 51, the Reverend William Branham says, notice this. There was an auction one time, and they got an old fiddle up. You heard it many times. An old violin. And the auctioneer said, what am I offered for it? I may not have this just right according to the poem. It's been many, many years, but it comes on my mind. And they picked up the old fiddle. It didn't look very much. Looks crummy. Everything. He couldn't even get a bit on it. Finally, I think he got bit for $1 or something like that. And there was one standing there that didn't think he ought to sell for that. In other words, he says, no, that's too cheap. You can't sell it for that price. Well, it was there, no one played it. It was just a plain old fiddle. So he went, that is, that person went and grabbed it and picked it up. He struck it in his hands. Dusted it off. Oh, that's how God is with us. He takes us by his hand. He takes off all those things we have. He blows on us. Blessed be the eternal God, the God of glory. Notice, going back to Eden, there was a breath of life there. He blew on the day of Pentecost. And he is blowing on us today to give us that eternal and glorified body. That blow through his spoken word and cleanses us. It straightens us out. Shake yourself off, eagle. Drop those old feathers. And he begins to shape up. That person starts to sound good. Not out of tune. No, God is molding you, violin. Now he says that. He struck it in his hands and picked up the bow and rosined it. And he played a tune. Father, play. Play your melody in my life. May it sound good to your ears. May you hear it. May my life be a sweet sounding melody for you, Lord. That is what he did there with that old fiddle, which didn't seem to work. How does the world see us? Talk about us. This person is good for nothing. That's what they think. God is cleansing us to play the right melody at this end time. That song, that whistling sound that Elijah heard in that still small voice. And God is there. And when he did, everyone started crying. That sound reached them. It pierced them, those people there. They never heard such a music in their life. Then the auctioneer said, what am I offered? 2,000? 5,000? 10,000? It was priceless now. That fiddle's value already started going up. Why? Because they heard how it sounded. What came out of that violin. That is the high value you are worth to God. See, what was it? The master's hands revealed what was veiled in the old instrument. The hand of God, the Holy Spirit, is revealing to mankind who the children of God are, who God's elect are. He is revealing to the world who his bride is. Same now. The old book, it's ragged, it's being laughed at, burnt, made fun of. But the time has come that they got a denominational auction. The World Council of Churches. They're selling it like nobody's business. There is a denominational auction coming. But remember, there is something in the old book that promised that there would be a predestinated ordained hand come one day that would pick it up and make the word of this book through a predestinated heart to the task that it's made for. Reveal the promises that's in it. It might look, like an old bunch of holy rollers or something other. But just take the Master's hand, the word on it, to reveal that word. And it becomes more than a holy roller. It becomes that to every one of us. Hasn't it, friends? It's not a bunch of fanatism. It depends on whose hands the bow is in. And he writes there, the violin, the master, and the right melody for the third dispensation. The violin, the master, and the right melody for the third dispensation. Of the last three, the third dispensation, which is the seventh dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, look also in this message. The mighty God unveiled. On page 22, it says, and that's what's the matter today, my Lutherans brethren, my Baptist brethren, my Pentecostal brethren, all my brethren from all different denominations, that's what it is. See, you're trying to give a note that hit back in the days of Luther, Wesley, and there he writes on the right, wrong notes. Wesley, like that, when the music sheet here shows that it's another day. See? We can't live in the light of Luther. He was a reformer. We appreciate his part, but we play that out. We're way over here at the back of the book now. See, we can't play it out like that. And notice, on this writing, there he writes on the right, the back part of the book. And here, in a writing from a Bible study, He writes to us there, Dr. William Soto, it doesn't fit, it doesn't align with their theological interpretations. Just as it happened yesterday at his first coming, it will happen in his second coming. The coming of the angel of the covenant, the church bride, is waiting for the coming of the cornerstone. But the seven ages already ended, and he comes in the age of the cornerstone. Now, the Reverend William Branham goes on to say here, I'm on page 22 of the message, The Mighty God Unveiled. He goes on to say, now the only way that you're ever going to be able to do it, my brethren, is this. And brethren of the world, of the different parts of the world, I might say, there's only one way for that director to do. He has to get in that same spirit that the composer was in. Then he's got it. And when the church, the symphony itself, where the world is watching for these signs and wonders, when the church and the composer and the director all get in the spirit of the composer, then when they say, the day of miracles is past, it don't hit the right note. But when he gets in the right swing of it and the right spirit of it, how are you going to do it until the spirit comes down of the composer? On the left he writes, the symphony of God. And on the right he writes, spirit of the composer must come down. Amen. Then when you say, the days of miracles never passed, the symphony cries out, amen. When we hit, say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, the symphony cries out, amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The symphony cries, amen. I got it. There's no more guesswork about it then. The whole symphony is right in harmony with the word. That's it. Oh, it's a magnificent thing. The director and the composer must be in the same spirit. And so must the musicians be in the same spirit to act it all out. And the world is wondering what's going on. The communism they talk about and made me sick with it. And all of this integration and everything else, and segregation. Oh, mercy, such all this nonsense. When the coming of the Lord is at hand, there is something hidden wrong. I'm afraid that the directors got out of the spirit of the composer. And there on the right, he writes, the spirit of the composer. When we get that composer's spirit, that original power of God, that the Bible said, man of old was moved by the Holy Ghost to write this Bible. You'll see them, two Chinese pieces of paper will come together. Just like God's Bible and a believer will come together. Because they're both in the same spirit. They're both the same thing. There he writes, the Chinese dry cleaner and the pieces of paper. They dovetail right straight together. What we need today is directors. That's right. That is right. Back to the word. Back and believe it just as it said. Then you see the God himself. That's the unveiling. And he writes there, Elijah and Moses. The drama is made real. Today they say, well, he's historical God. We know he crossed the Red Sea. He did all this. He was in the fiery furnace with the Hebrew children. What good is a God of history, isn't, if he isn't the same today? There on the right, he writes, the revelation, the discovery, the drama is real. The revelation, the discovery, the drama is real. Man is ever glorifying God for what he did do, thinking of what he will do and ignoring what he is doing. That's just in man to do that. It's the same thing today, my brethren. It's the very same thing. Oh my. Let's get back and get the symphony playing right, where the whole world can see it. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from this earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let the director get in the right spirit with the musicians and with the composer. Everything will be all right. Then we're no guesswork about it. We are identified with Him then. There won't be conjectures about anything then. Notice, that's how it happened in the day of Pentecost. Everyone was together and in one accord in the upper room. And today we are in the upper room in the age of the cornerstone. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say in this message that we are reading the symphony of God. Therefore, the word of God, as a new song for every age, is performed by God's symphony, His church. Just as God, through Moses, performed the corresponding song, the corresponding work to that time, through each messenger of each age of the Hebrew church under the law. So also through Jesus Christ, He interpreted the entire divine program. He fulfilled everything that was written on the musical sheet for His time. That is what it means to interpret, to materialize, to bring it to life. What was written there in the promised word for the time of the coming of the Messiah. In the message, this day the scripture is fulfilled. The Reverend William Branham says on page 7, look, he says, the Messiah Himself, standing in the presence of the congregation and reading a word out of the Bible pertaining to Himself, and then saying, today the scripture is fulfilled. On the right, he writes, Messiah. And they still failed to see it. What a tragedy that that would be. But it happened. It happened many times. How could it happen? Of course, like it did in other times. By believing man's interpretation of the word, that's what caused it. There he writes, they couldn't catch it because of believing man's interpretation. They couldn't catch it because of believing man's interpretation. Those believers in them days, so-called believers, was taking the interpretation of what the priest had said about the scripture. Therefore Jesus, not belonging to any of their ranks or their societies, He was excommunicated from their company, and therefore they could not identify Him with them, because He was different from them. The person of Jesus Christ was so unique that no one should have missed seeing that that was the Son of God, because He was the perfect identification of the scriptures that was wrote of Him. That's the way any Christian is known when his life identifies the very things that the Christian is supposed to do. How he could stand there and say, this day this scripture is fulfilled right before your eyes. How outstanding, how so plainly, and yet those people misunderstood. Why? It's because they took the interpretation of some order of priests that they were listening to. And history always repeats itself. And there he writes, history repeats itself. And scripture has a compound meaning to it, and a compound revelation. There he writes, compound meaning revelation. For instance, like it says in the Bible that, out of Egypt I have called my son, referring to Jesus. Run the margin on that, and you find out, also refers to Jacob. Same scripture. Jesus was his greater son. Jacob was his son that he called out of Egypt, which the Scofield reference and all the reference give to it, because that's the scripture it was referring to. So he had a double answer. He had an answer to Jacob called out and to Jesus called out. And he writes, Jacob and Jesus called out from among the Gentiles. There above Jesus, he writes, Moses. Now in this other message, titled, Fighting the Good Fight, notice, the Reverend William Branham tells us there, it was preached on April 15, 2002, in Cali, Colombia, he says, "And now, since the seventh angel messenger of the seventh age is the instrument where God is reflecting everything he will do when Christ finishes his work of intercession in heaven and opens three dots, take the title deed and opens it in heaven and brings it to earth and gives it to a man. Since the seventh angel messenger of the seventh age is the instrument where God is reflecting all of that, well, he has to do what he will do later on. In other words, he has to work as he that is the Holy Spirit was going to work later on. And that's how it's been at all times. What will come later on is reflected in that messenger. That is why, notice, even though he was opening the seals, in reality, the seals, the book of the seals, is still closed in heaven, in the right hand of the one who is sitting on the throne. That is why he could not say, for example, the mystery of the sixth seal, which is Moses and Elijah, he could not say the name they would have, and so on and so forth. In other words, he could not say back then the name of the instrument where the Holy Spirit would be operating that ministry of Moses and Elijah at the end time. In the message, God's only provided place of worship, on page 28, the Reverend William Branham says there, Jesus said, "I came in my Father's name, and you receive me not." You want the scripture on that? St. John 5:43, see? "I came in my Father's name, and you receive me not." Then the Father put his own name, which is Jesus, in the Son. And he writes, every son comes in his Father's name. And he told us in one occasion, the Father of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the Father or is the Father of Jesus. Now he goes on to say, and he is the way, he is the door, he is the house. Now notice, he said, the Father and I are one. It's not that he is divided into three. He is one. As the rabbi said to him, you make God into three people. And he said, no, that's not true. God never, he says, he is the house. He is where God chose to put his name. God never put his name in me. He never put it in the church. He never put it in the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic. But he put it in Christ, the anointed Emmanuel. And the name is in the Word because he is the Word. Amen. What is he then? Now, if the name is in the Word, then notice what he tells us on page 158 of the Book of the Seals, or 37 in the first seal, he says, and Jesus' name on earth was Redeemer Jesus. When he was on earth, he was the Redeemer, that's true. But when he conquered death and hell, and overcome them, and ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do, and they don't get nothing. He'll be revealed in the thunders. See? Notice the mysteries. There he writes on top, revealed in thunders, new name. That is, the thunders, the new name. He'll be revealed in the thunders. See? Notice the mystery. He's coming writing. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. Notice. No man knoweth but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:13-16. There comes the Messiah, there he is. On 307 of the Book of the Seals, or the fourth seal, page 25, says, "But when our Lord appears here on earth, he'll be riding on a snow-white horse, and he'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man." Remember that the coming of the Lord was 2,000 years ago, the first coming. Then the coming of the Lord to take his church, he comes as a thief in the night before the great tribulation, which is the promise that he gave and that the Reverend William Branham prophesied, that would give the church bride the rapturing faith in his coming. It is the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. What the coming of the Son of Man is, the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, which is the seventh seal to the church, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And then there is the coming after the great tribulation. Notice how that scripture from Revelation 19 is fulfilled again there. There we will return to earth with eternal and glorified bodies to begin that glorious millennial kingdom. Now he goes on to say here on page 28, on God's only provided place of worship, the Reverend William Branham goes on to say, "And the name is in the Word, because he is the Word." Amen. What is he then? The Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. No wonder. "Flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, who I am. And upon this rock I'll build my place of worship, and the gates of hell can't shake it down." Amen. Oh, living church of God, stand in firm foundation on Jesus Christ alone. You can sing the song, but if you're not on Christ the Word, you're a teetering, faltering sand. But upon this rock, Christ, my Word. And he draws Star of David there, and a cornerstone and the ages. And there on the left, as a question, he writes, "Who is the Son of Man today?" Now, our brother William goes on to say here, and now we can see that there is a great mystery there. And when he takes the title deed, notice, he will bring it open to earth and will give it to a man. And then, in that man, that Word fully becomes flesh, and he will receive the restoration to physical eternal life, which is the transformation of his body. And likewise, all the sons and daughters of God are receiving that content of that book, where they will soon have that eternal and glorified body. That is why he is teaching us everything we need to know and how to be seeing the interpretation of his Word. The interpretation, that is, the fulfillment of what he said that would happen at this end time when the church bride would receive that translation faith. "Come and teach me." We can sing that song. "Come and teach me what you want me to be, Lord. Come and show me. Come, Lord, and speak to me. Come and play that melody in me." In other words, come and show me how I should act, how I should walk. Come and teach me what you, Lord, want me to do. In other words, your will, how to do your perfect will. Let's stand and let us sing that song. "Come and teach me." Show me, Lord, what you want me to be. Teach me, Lord, in this message, the unveiling of God, which we were reading, Brother Branham tells us here, you can stroke the word from here, Lord, like the old violinist did to the violin. Make it so, Lord. Make it play the right tune, bow in the master's hand. And he writes, Moses, then we'll see him standing in full view. How those people must have thought that day when they wouldn't give nothing, when they didn't give nothing for the old violin. They didn't want it. They wouldn't have it in their house. But when once picked up by the one who could master it, then they sold everything they had to get it. They were fussing and fighting over it. It was too late then. And he writes, the violin, the master, and the right melody. So will it be sometime when the trumpet of the Lord, and he writes, the great trumpet and Moses and Elijah, when the trumpet of the Lord shall be sounded out, time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. Those who have been looked at and made fun of, that stood there before the open veil and seen the word of God manifested, others will scream for it. But as you said, it'll be too late then. Because when the time really comes in which they hear the melody of that violin, then they will say, but what have I done? He was the one. It says in the sacred scriptures in the book of the seals that they had been in meetings like this. They had spurned God's mercy for the last time. They had heard everything those prophets had foretold. Notice they had run from here to there seeking mercy. They had come to the wrong place because there was no more intercession in heaven. That mercy seat wasn't there to be used in favor of all who drew near. Rather, that mercy seat had already become a judgment seat. Now, there was a throne. There was a violin that was being played on earth. But they had spurned it. They didn't want that melody in their homes. No, get those green books out of my house. I don't want that. I don't want what they're talking about there in the Great Tent Cathedral. Now notice, he said it there. And there was. Page 441. They had no place to go, no retreat. Because they might hide behind things, but they won't be able to hide from God's wrath. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said here, they cried for the rocks and the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of, because they could see him coming then. God's mercy was there for the last time. And hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. That is why when he said, when this Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, then we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is the second coming of the Lord. Is that violin sounding mercy upon the people. But notice, by this time, and hide us from the face and the wrath of the Lamb. They tried to repent, but it wasn't the time. Why don't they try it now? Today. This is the time to seek mercy. He says, they tried to repent, but the Lamb had come to claim his own. See? And look. And they cried. See? They are people who believe. And they cried to the rocks and the mountains. Prayed. See? But prayers were too late. He says, there was no blood on the mercy seat. That is why he wrote to us there, on his book on page 369 at the bottom, Elijah and Moses. He who receives his message receives mercy. And here he's telling us, others will scream for it. But as you said, it'll be too late then. They went into the wedding supper, and they were left out where there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Help every person to believe this morning, Father, because he doesn't want anyone to be lost, but that all should come to repentance. Break through every veil of selfishness, every veil of unbelief, and we can add pride boosting of arrogance, and see the mighty conqueror unveiled before the believers. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. A little while, and the world won't see me no more, yet ye shall see me. Show yourself among us, Lord, as you have been doing. Ever remain that way until we are visible before you, when the end morphe has been changed, and you become again Son of Man and Son of David. And he writes there, Son of Man and son of David. Now remember, how do we approach him? How can we approach him and be accepted? In what name, under what title? Oh, as son of David, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, come and teach me what you want me to do.
Ven y enséñame cómo quieres que yo sea. Solo dime qué y obedeceré. Ven y enséñame cómo quieres que yo sea. Solo dime qué y obedeceré. Esta alma es tu alma, he venido de ti, vacíate de mí, vacíate de mí. Esta alma es tu alma, he venido de ti, vacíate de mí, vacíate de mí. Sin limitaciones, manifiéstate de mí, manifiesta tu poder en mí. Sin limitaciones, vacía de tu espíritu en mí. Sin limitaciones,
yes, Lord.
Manifiéstate en mí, manifiesta tu poder en mí. Sin limitaciones, vacía de tu espíritu en mí. Sin limitaciones,
yes, Lord.
Manifiéstate en mí, manifiesta tu poder en mí. Sin limitaciones, así vacía de tu espíritu en mí, manifiéstate en mí. Ven y enséñame cómo quieres que yo sea. Solo di
by walking with Jose, I'm on my way. That song, God gave it to me as I was leaving Argentina. And there, He's showing us that we are overcomers and that we will reach the goal. And by the hand of the Holy Spirit, at this end time, we will obtain the victory. Walking by the hand, by walking with Jose, I am on my way to my adoption. We can sing it.
quiero cumplir con tus propósitos, tus motivos conocer y así poder llegar, tus objetivos alcanzar y mi cuerpo transformar. Reinar contigo, esto es coherencia. Te he recibido como rey, con el cual yo reinaré, con el cual yo viviré por toda la eternidad. Si estoy vivo es para alabarte. Si estoy vivo es para honrarte, para servirte a ti, para entregarme a ti y hacer tu voluntad. Vivir eternamente, vivir contigo, mi rey. Es tu voz la que me anima día a día, de que soy un vencedor. La victoria obtendré.
Yes, Lord.
Pues yo sé que tú me amas. Presionando en la batalla, es tu voz la que me dice, sigue adelante y vencerás. Caminando con José, yo voy. Caminando con José, yo voy. Hacia mi adopción.
In the message, Revelation chapter 5, look, he tells us, now, we've got to have these pros and cons. That's the way it goes. You've got to have good days to make you enjoy, or bad days to make you enjoy the good. You have to have a little sickness to make you enjoy good health. See? And you have to have your valleys to make you enjoy the mountain tops. On top, he draws a cornerstone and a Star of David, and he writes top. And so then some of these days, it'll all be mountain top. It'll all be health. It'll all be God. It'll all be joy. Just there'll be unending joy. But until that time, see, we got to have this pro and cons. We can go up a key. Look, now we're bringing the melody up a key. By walking with Jose, I'm on my way. And notice, he says, what we were reading this morning, there was a little part that I didn't read to you where Brother William says, may God allow the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to see what the forerunner of the second coming of Christ saw. May God allow you to see the one forerunner at the last day. May He allow the church to see who? The one forerunner. May He allow you to see what He promised and said in His Word. Allow you to see the one forerunner at the last day. And thus, you will be seeing how God will be fulfilling everything He has promised. And we will all be prepared for our transformation. May God allow you to see the fulfillment of what was prophesied, of what Brother Branham saw. You know what? He saw us. He saw you. He saw me. And now, if He says, may God allow the church to see what the forerunner saw, you are seeing Him live and in full color. Not in a vision, but in reality. Where we greet each other, we touch, we bless each other. We say to each other, God bless you. In these human bodies that we have. That is a great blessing that God has allowed us to live, to see with our own eyes. That is why my life, Lord, is to worship You. May my life not be to fight against You. Not to be whining all the time and complaining. We are not complainers. Instead, may my life be, Lord, when I open my mouth, may it be to worship You, to glorify You, to bless You, and to thank You because I am alive today here in the place where Brother Branham wanted to come down. And he wanted to be here, glorifying the way You and I are glorifying. That is what it means to be grateful to God, to know that we are alive in one of the activities that the Reverend William Branham saw. He was in one, we are in many. Let's enjoy all the activities. And not only in this place, in all places that are under the teaching under the tent. Enjoy them. Experience that day, that moment, that fellowship with one another. This won't happen again, brethren. This won't happen again. Enjoy your brother. Take advantage as you exit and say, God bless you. Because maybe you won't see him the next day. What if God takes him? Look, he walked right by me and I turned my face away. Because he did something to me during the week. No, that's not how it is. Make the most of that elect who raises his hand and greet you. Because he might be the last time he says goodbye. Let's make the most of one another. And may this place and every place where the children of God are gathered always be a place of worship, of praise, of gratitude to God for what He has done for each one of us. And because He has allowed us to live, to be alive. That is the most glorious thing. That is why my life I dedicate to You always in worship, in praise. May my entire life be for that, Lord. Give me a church. What church? Is this church of the last day, the one that is in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. By walking with Jose, I'm on my way to my transformation.
Quiero cumplir con tus propósitos, tus motivos conocer. Y así poder llegar, objetivos alcanzar y mi cuerpo transformar. Reinar contigo es tu escogencia. Te he recibido como rey. Yo reinaré, con el cual yo viviré por toda la eternidad.
si estoy vivo es para alabarte, si estoy vivo es para honrarte, para servirte a ti, para entregarme a ti y hacer tu voluntad. Eternamente vivir contigo, mi Rey. Es tu voz la que me anima día a día de que soy un vencedor. Victoria obtendré, pues yo sé que tú me amas. Presionando en la batalla, es tu voz la que me dice: si adelante vencerás. Caminando con José, yo voy. Caminando con José, yo voy. Caminando con José, yo voy. Hacia mi adopción.
And I assure you that one of these mornings they will return, they will resurrect, and we will be transformed. That is, thus saith the Lord. That is a spoken word, a promise given by God, which will be fulfilled at this end time. Prophet of God, interpreter of the word of God, let's leave with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.